Welcome to the West Midlands and Warwickshire Green Business Podcast. Subscribe now for more episodes. I'm Jonathan Howell, Energy Advisor for the Decarbonisation Net Zero Programme, and I'll be your host today. Now, as many of you know, the Decarbonisation Net Zero Programme has been running now for nearly 2 years, during which time we've helped thousands of businesses reduce their energy costs, their carbon footprint, and also invest in new energy-efficient machinery and equipment. Now, we do this by providing a free energy audit, and then we also have grant funding available to help support those energy efficiency projects, typically new machinery, solar PV, glazing, insulation, and much, much more. So for today's episode, we're going to do something a little bit different, and we're going to reflect on the last 2 years, and we're going to try and bring you an insight into the trends that we've noticed within the team, and also give you guidance and examples of what's worked and worked well for businesses that we've helped to reduce their energy consumption and their carbon footprint. So to help me with today's session, I'd like to introduce my colleague Sarah Wilkes to the call. Sarah, good afternoon, and can you say hello and give us a bit of background to yourself, please?
Hi, yeah, thank you, John. So yeah, I'm Sarah Wilkes. I've been at Coventry City Council for 8.5 years, so supporting SMEs in the Coventry and Warwickshire area with decarbonisation plans, so providing energy audits and assisting with grant funding applications for businesses in that area. So I've worked in the sustainability kind of sector since 2011 in different roles around like energy management, so in higher education, another public sector role, and a bit of consultancy work as well. So yeah, that's a bit of a background to me.
Good stuff. Thank you. Thanks for joining again. And then just for myself, many of you on the podcast will know me by now. I talk a lot on these sessions. I'm Jonathan Howell. I've been with the council now, or Coventry City Council, for nearly 4 years. I have a sustainability background and an account management background, but I've been working on this programme and a few other iterations of it now for 4 years. So my specialist area is energy efficiency and carbon and sustainability, basically. So hopefully between the two of us, for our audience listening today, you'll get a good background to our experience over the last number of years, and take a few things from the session that you'll find of interest. So I'd like to start then just by sort of setting a bit of context and setting the scene, really. So for those of you out there that don't know a bit about what we do and don't know how we structure things, myself and Sarah are going to talk you through what to expect from us when you engage with us, what to expect in terms of the energy audit that we've referred to, also look what the energy report will give you, what key things that will show you. Then we're going to give you a bit of guidance typically on what the actual funding can be used for and how that bit of it works as well. So I think I'll just kick off initially just about the actual initial engagement. First of all, you have to obviously register with us, register on our platform, the link of which will be in the podcast description later. So you register your interest for your business on our platform, and that then comes through to us in the team, and then we will first of all assess your eligibility to make sure you're eligible, and there'll be some restrictions and some outlines on the portal in terms of what works and what doesn't work. So we assess your eligibility, and then we will engage with you and do an initial triage call just to make sure that you're eligible and find out what you're looking for. And then we will look to book in the on-site audit and talk about what you need to provide us, which is typically energy bills. We need to know your energy consumption, so we like to ask for your energy bills in advance. Give us an idea of what your consumption is. We also check your rates and make sure you're not paying too much and there's nothing untoward on your bills and so on. So once we've gone through that initial process, we've onboarded you, we've talked to you a bit about what you're looking for, manage your expectation, got a nice baseline of what your energy consumption is, we can then look to get things booked in on site. So maybe you want to pick up from here, Sarah, and just talk a little bit about the on-site bit, if that's okay.
Yeah, of course. So it's obviously good to gather the bills and as much information about the business as we can before coming out to site. So some of the larger businesses, for example, might have half hourly energy data. Not all, this will be for kind of like more energy intensive businesses. But yeah, we can have a look through the bills and kind of identify trends, and that might help us with the actual energy audit. So if you look at things like out of hours energy usage, for example. But yeah, we would arrange for a kind of appointment to come out. So standard energy audit, typically probably about an hour walking around site, but John, I'm sure you've had the same where, you know, this can run over up to, you know, over 2 hours, depending on the site. So the things we would look for whilst walking around would be things like the building fabric, you know, windows, any visible gaps where there might be like draft proofing measures to recommend, for example, things like the lighting, heating, boiler room, looking at potentially like heating controls as well, just to see, you know, what's in place around the site. And we'll need obviously someone to walk around and show us the site, but it's really good to gather as much information from people on site as well. So if, for example, you're in the heating season, you've got heating blasting and windows open, for example, and people, you know, really too hot. There's an example that, you know, clearly there's energy wastage if you've got the heating on, but it's just going out the window. So, you know, if possible, speak to staff around the site as well and see if there's any places that get really cold, really hot, or places where people can typically give a lot of information about where they can save energy, as well as hopefully having a independent expert set of eyes to kind of look at everything in a whole new light as well.
Yeah, I think you raise a good point there, Sarah. I've done a lot of audits as of you over the years, and I have done some where I've been left to my own devices on site and I've sort of wandered around a big factory for an hour or two on my own. That doesn't work. I like to walk around with either the business owner or the energy manager or as many people as possible on site. And I'm obviously, to reiterate what we're doing, we're spotting inefficiencies. We're spotting things that are inefficient, be it your windows, your heating, your machinery, all these things. And I like to talk people through my logic as we walk past it. So I might identify an old machine or an old boiler. I will then talk through the options that the business might have in terms of making that more efficient or making it more of an improvement. So as we go along, we're sort of formulating a narrative to the way that it's going to go in terms of the recommendations. What doesn't work is if we then do the audit with no support from the business, it doesn't make sense when it lands, does it, the actual report? So it is really good to have that buy-in from the business, basically. So if you're listening, you know, use our time wisely. We're there to help you, but your input is vital, basically. What kind of things, Sarah, would you typically look to spot then, apart from the heating? Is there anything else that you tend to look for on site when you're walking around?
Yeah, so it really depends on the business. So lighting is another big energy user. So if you've still got fluorescent tubes, for example, there's usually a pretty good business case for upgrading to LED. But also lighting controls, walking around, if you go to a storeroom, a bathroom, a kitchen, and lights are left on, no one's there, just matching lighting to occupancy and kind of putting in motion sensor controls, for example, to reduce usage. But also in a manufacturing setting, has the business looked at their compressor? Have they had someone to put a data logger on and see about upgrading that, for example? Things like extraction systems, they can be quite good. Energy saving, looking at the controls for that, like variable controls. But yeah, it really depends on the business. So it's good to get an overview of what the business does in a day-to-day setting. So, you know, what they switch on and try and kind of like apportion and estimate how much is being used by the heating, for example, or hot water system.
Yeah, good stuff. I think it's important, as you can probably tell from our description so far, we're very adept at working across a wide range of sectors, from manufacturing to leisure to office environments and so on. So we will tailor the report based on what we find when we get on site, basically. So we're very good at fleshing out recommendations to suit your exact business, basically. So it's not generic, it'll be for your business and your business only, basically. And then for me, what I'll do is I will finish the walk around, as it were, then I'll quickly run through before I leave site. I've already taken photographs of all the machinery and bits I need to remind myself of. I'll have taken pictures of equipment serial numbers and boiler references and so on. I'll then have a quick meeting before I leave, just to summarize the actual walk around, things I'm going to actually put into the energy report, which we'll explain next. And then the business then can then have some input as well, because they might, whatever my recommendations may be, there might be a narrative that they want to follow. They might be a reason they want to go on a certain angle in terms of energy efficiency that I've not considered, or maybe they'll want to prioritize something else. I'll have a little summary meeting with them to go through what to expect. And then we move on to what we call the energy report, which is what we then put together for the business. Again, just to clarify, this is all free. When we'll put together our recommendations on how to improve the actual efficiency on site. So did you want to just quickly run through the report, what to expect from the report, Sarah, if that's okay?
Yeah, certainly. So we would start with an executive summary that has a table of the recommendations. This will have the headline figures of kilowatt hour savings, estimated monetary savings, carbon saving, and also the payback period on investment as well, which is an estimate. And then further down in the report, we will baseline your annual energy consumption. So there's a table that outlines, you know, how much you're using over a 12-month period. Some businesses will know this off by heart, but quite often we go to a lot of businesses that don't actually know how much they're spending, how much they're using, and also the carbon saving as well. So yeah, just to headline that in a kind of like a table for the business. And then the rest of the report will go into the recommendations in further detail. So working on those headline figures, those will be repeated, but there'll be further information on the energy recommendation and possibly some further information and what to look out for. So yeah, some caveats, for example. So, you know, if we estimate solar PV, for example, we would say, you know, subject to further contractor surveys, you know, you might need a structural survey, you'll need things like the DNO permission. So yeah, just a bit of further information and potentially some further links for the business to access as well. So yeah, some of the like the tools, the free tools and guides, and like Carbon Trust, for example, put those in the report so that the business has a bit more information.
Yeah, good stuff. And I think the key thing, as I explain it, is the payback periods and the carbon and cost savings are key here. So as a business, you'll be able to see at a glance which of the recommendations that we provide have the best payback, basically. Yeah. So as a business, you can start to prioritize, okay, we'll perhaps do that, those one or two things in year one. Maybe we then push back a couple of the ones with longer payback period to sort of year three and four. So you can make an educated decision as a business on which ones are more critical to do yeah, sooner, basically. So again, the report is free, as is our time on site. So that will show you as a business all of those key things, and it will show you those overall savings so you can make a decision which is worth doing sooner. And then, as I always say at this juncture, then there's the good bit, as I always say, which is we then have grant funding available to put towards the things that we are recommending. So between us, we'll always have a post report conversation as to which way as a business you want to go, basically. So you might want to do, say, two of our 7 or 8 recommendations. That is absolutely fine. You don't have to do all of them. And we'd be able to then guide you on how much money would be available to put towards the projects that we identify, basically. Now, typically, the grant funding does vary depending on the time and the actual project. Typically, it's a 50% intervention. So you put in 50% and we will help fund 50% of the project for you. So very much worthwhile doing. And obviously, that intervention from us really helps shrink that payback period. So you're less exposed to capital costs as a business, basically. So if that sounds of interest, again, we've got a few more things to talk through now, but the description on the link is in our podcast description to register. If that sounds of interest, get in touch and we'll onboard you and we'll walk you through that process in person, if that's okay. Okay, next thing we've outlined to just discuss with you is a bit of a brain dump for myself and Sarah, really. Obviously, we've been out in the field for 2 years on this program, but a good few years, especially in Sarah's case, a good few years before then. We're going to have a quick discussion about things we've spotted, really, just sort of general trends, things we've seen, musings of the program, if you want to call it that. So I'll kick off, and something that I've noticed over the last couple of years in terms of energy prices. Obviously, we're all very aware, I would imagine, of the increased prices and unit rates due to the recent Ukraine war. We noticed in our program a huge influx or increase in applications when energy prices were doubling, and in some cases tripling. We noticed a massive increase in our program. People really have to help get those bills down. We did a lot of work with companies in terms of solar, for example, to try and get away from the grid costs, basically. So we did notice that. What we have noticed, though, of course, is it's now sort of settled down a bit. although we do feel in the programme that it won't go back to what it was COVID times. It won't go back to those energy rates for at least some time soon. So whilst, it's a bit of a paradox this, so whilst when the Ukraine war pushed prices up, that was obviously really bad, but it did mean that the payback periods for investments were really small because, of course, the energy costs were so high. We are seeing slightly longer payback periods for things now because, of course, the energy unit rate has dropped, but we do see businesses that are very, very keen on the more stable energy market. It's a bit more stable. So they are more willing, even though the payback periods are longer, they are more willing to invest in energy efficiency reduction measures. So the Ukraine price hike has obviously scared people a lot. They realize that it leaves them exposed to these energy rises. And people are now looking a lot more long-term on things. So essentially what I'm saying is, even though the energy prices are still more stable, people are a lot more invested now in actually doing something about it, basically. It's a bit long-winded discussion on that, Sarah. Do you find the same yourself when you're out and about in terms of rates, basically?
Yeah, I think the energy price increase a couple of years ago certainly brought energy efficiency to the fore for a lot of businesses. It was quite a shock. And just having a, you know, like a general chit-chat at the beginning of the energy audit, for example, a lot of businesses were saying, oh, you know, that it just felt like it came out of nowhere, it was a massive cost, we came out of this fix and prices doubled overnight. And so I think certainly, you know, energy efficiency provides an opportunity to reduce usage and costs without changing tariffs, for example, if that makes sense. So it's like that fabric first kind of approach to energy efficiency. Try and use the least amount of energy as a first step kind of thing before anything else. So
I totally agree. And I think just looping back to what we spoke about earlier on, this is why it's so important to get your bills up front as a business, because one of the first things I do is when I get people's bills is I will look through and see what rate they've been charged. Believe it or not, we do see this. We do still see businesses that are on a really high rate and they don't need to be. They might be out of contract but are still paying 50-60 pence a kilowatt hour on their electricity rates.
So
our guidance is key in that respect as well. Try and guide you on getting your consumption down, not only by improving things on site but also by looking at your contracts and making sure they're right as well. The next thing that I spotted as well, I'll just talk you through one more thing that I spotted, then I'll hand over to Sarah to just discuss a few things in a bit more detail. I spotted over my career, lighting, LED lighting was one of the things we always funded the most. We did a lot of work on LED lighting and improving things and getting people away from halogen and fluorescent tubes. I'm not seeing that so much anymore. A lot of people seem to have done it. It seemed to be, to coin a phrase, the low-hanging fruit, basically. So again, it's been done. It's a very, very quick payback, but it seems to have been done by a lot of companies moving forward in their sites. Have you seen the same, Sarah, in terms of that, just out of interest, where most people have already done it?
Yeah, certainly a lot of businesses have switched to LED, and things like the legislation changes of buying new new bulbs, like pushing towards LEDs, helped that. But yeah, there's a really good business case for upgrading to LED. So yeah, noticed a similar trend that a lot of businesses have already done that, but still some that haven't. And it's always a good opportunity, and if you can get funding towards it, then
absolutely. So if you've still got old fluorescent lights on site, get in touch, we can help with that. Really easy, quick payback, get it done, get in touch. Basically, heat pumps is the next thing we'd like to discuss now. This is probably more your sweet spot than mine, Sarah. So would you like to talk through any trends you spotted on that in terms of getting people away from, I presume, gas to heat pumps?
Yeah, I think certainly there's a definite trend towards electrification of heat. So heat pumps is a big kind of proportion of that we see in the future, basically, for businesses. So we haven't done as many kind of like air to water heat pumps. I don't know if you've had that kind of experience as well, but certainly like air to air kind of heat pumps, and definitely more kind of like electrification of heat around site, for example, in industrial settings. So more businesses kind of moving towards radiant heaters, for example, or infrared heaters, or even like the electric panel heaters, if well controlled. So we look at the carbon saving as well as, you know, cost saving. And certainly the carbon factor for electricity has gone down to about a third of what it was probably about 10 years ago. Electricity is becoming a greener fuel, whereas fossil fuel heating sources, so mains gas, kerosene heaters, for example, the carbon factor for that is pretty static and it's not probably going to be reducing much. So yeah, I suppose, yeah, generally like the electrification of heat, we're seeing a lot more prevalent.
Yeah, I mean, we both in our jobs, we see lots of factories with gas space heaters, for example, or a gas combi boiler on site. So a lot of businesses are sort of moving away from that and realizing they need to electrify it. So yeah, I am seeing that myself as well. And of course, that is ideally underpinned by having a solar array on your roof as well. So solar PV obviously works very, very well. If you're going to start to electrify your heating on site, do it with solar if you can. Well, a lot of companies are sort of putting the solar in place first and are then aligning their heating with that perhaps in year two or three. Yeah. Because of course, if you've got solar on your roof, then of course it makes your heating technically free of charge in the day, basically, or at night if you've got battery storage on your solar. So that's something that I've definitely noticed a lot more in the last year or so, especially in the manufacturing sector, basically.
Yeah.
And I think just moving on to the next point, which ties in with that as well, and I'm sure you're the same on this, Sarah, a lot of companies that I see in manufacturing in particular, especially in automotive, they're looking at the actual energy efficiency piece with a cost perspective, but also on the carbon reduction, which you alluded to in your previous answer, because that people are having to demonstrate a carbon reduction to carry on winning business in their supply chain. A lot of tenders now have a carbon reduction plan within them. So companies have to demonstrate that they are reducing their carbon to carry on selling in their supply chain and within their own sustainability strategy. So I think that is another reason, another thing we're seeing more and more and more, basically. And obviously a knock-on effect to that is obviously cost savings as well. And I think the last thing we had to discuss, Sarah, was the heat and power zones that you mentioned, the building management. Did you want to just expand on that a bit more for our audience?
Yeah, so I suppose the general concept of this is trying to match your heating to what's actually going on site. So for example, more businesses might be offering hybrid working, so people working from home, for example, 2 days a week, but the heating's just left running all week. So trying to have a rethink about how the heating controls can adapt to how people are working. So even simple things, we might recommend the electronic TRVs on radiators in a wet system. So you can program on your phone, someone's not in, you just switch that off for that particular office. And it might not be a massive saving, but over the course of the heating season, can save a good percentage by matching your heating demand to occupancy levels, essentially. Yeah. And yeah, quite often, well, we will recommend kind of like good energy management on site as kind of like a standard recommendation, just like we alluded to earlier, checking your bills, not just relying on estimated bills, getting a good idea of what you actually use on site and looking at things like out of hours usage, and just trying to reduce energy where you can by, I suppose, those behavioural measures as well, switching off lighting, machinery, thermostatic control, changes in temperature, etc. I think just notice more and more walking around where businesses do have that hybrid work, you know, a lot of offices are just being heated unnecessarily throughout the week, so it's just having a rethink around that.
Yeah, and I suppose the technology for that is there, isn't it? So it's a case of making sure you use it. So the cheapest energy is energy you're not using, basically.
Yeah, definitely.
So yeah, so I mean, I saw that the other week when I did an audit for a couple of nursing homes where they'd flooded the whole or both nursing homes with smart TRVs. So the chap could sit at home who owned the business, and he could put his radiators at certain temperatures at certain times of the day, and it had reduced his bills by about 15-20%. So it's really worth doing, didn't cost too much either, so the payback on that was really, 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 really quick, which was good to see. So good. Oh, well, that's the last trend we've spotted. There are more, but they're the key ones that we've brought to you today. So just to tie that in then to something that a bit more understandable, maybe we're going to, myself and Sarah are going to talk you through some case study examples, one or two of the best scenarios we worked with over the last couple of years in terms of what we did and what the business achieved. So did you want to just talk through your example first of all, Sarah, for our audience?
Yeah, certainly. So just an example of a business that we, in this current phase, we gave them a 25k grant towards a 50 kilowatt solar array. The payback period was, I think, about 3 to 4 years. So really good return on investment for the business. But I think with this particular business, it was really good to see the journey they've been on from the start. So the previous Coventry and Warwickshire Green Business Programme offered grants, and this is kind of like the third time round they were accessing funding for energy efficiency, renewable energy. So previously they had grant funding for the LED lighting, fabric efficiency, improved machinery, improved compressor. So it was just good to see they've done these smaller changes beforehand, and you know, leading up to the solar PV, so that they've tried to reduce the energy as much as possible, like we said, through that kind of fabric first approach, trying to reduce energy as much as possible before then looking towards renewable energy later down the line to improve sustainability performance. And it was a really good return on investment for the business, and yeah, carbon saving over 8 tons of carbon, and got that backlog of carbon savings from doing all these measures before. So yeah, that was really good to see.
Yeah, sounds good. And actually my example is similar, to be honest with you, in terms of the touch points we've had over the years. So I work with a bespoke manufacturing business in Coventry. They'd had support a couple of years ago off a previous program for lighting. They did all of their light throughout the factory and the offices. I then re-engaged with them under this program to look at putting in a new roof, which had a lot more insulation in, which reduced their factory heating costs by quite a lot. But another driver of having the new roof was because they wanted solar. They wanted to flood their roof with solar as well. So the actual project cost was over £650,000, but the payback period was about 12 or 13 years all told for the insulation improvements and for the solar. A bit more long term, it made sense for the business. They own the property, which made a big difference as well. So it did make commercial sense. But in terms of the carbon as well, which we alluded to previously, it also reduced their carbon considerably. And that then helps them with their tenders for more business moving forward, because they can demonstrate that they are greener and they are looking to decarbonize, and they can secure those contracts moving forward. And interestingly, we're already talking now about what we've talked about previously about decarbonising their heating, because they've got a lot of the old gas space heaters on site they want to get rid of. Now they've got the solar, it makes sense to use that to underpin decarbonising the heating. So similar to yours, Sarah, but it just shows you, we love working with people on a multiple year basis, don't we, really, in terms of helping reduce things moving forward. So our job, we can do it one of two ways. We can either walk you through it over a period of years, or if you've just got some lights to do, we can do that as well. So we're very flexible, but it's about that journey basically. So we can apply either logic to your requirement. And both of those businesses, it's been done. They've had the grant money, and it's been very, very successful. So if that sounds of interest and your business is similar, do get in touch. Okay, so just drawing the discussion to a close. Now, regular listeners will know that I do tend to end on this topic and this question basically. I like to always discuss what sort of future trends we've got coming around the corner basically. Now, we have discussed a couple of these previously in the actual discussion. So opening the floor to you really, Sarah, what do you want to kick off with in terms of what you see as being a future trend? What would you like to see? What do you expect to see in our role moving forward?
Yeah, so one of the trends we highlighted was just around things like energy management, getting smart metering, possibly automatic meter reading, so like sub-metering, those kinds of things. I suppose under the bracket of energy management that we've already spoke about, I do see that as a good opportunity that businesses maybe aren't taking full advantage of, and things like smart meter rollout and half hourly meter regulations, you know, there could be more and more changes ahead for businesses. So yeah, it's kind of good to take advantage of that and just see it as an opportunity, not just a burden, that you can look at your energy in more detail, what you're using on a day-to-day basis, and just really use that energy to get good control of what you're spending on site over the course of a week, a month, and potentially use that accurate energy data within possibly your quarterly reporting. You know, we're seeing more businesses, like you say, who have now like a formal sustainability strategy and formal reporting. So the more accurate data that you have on site, it can really help that.
Yeah, good answer. I think as well, we've already discussed this, but I expect to see a much more interest, or a higher interest rather, in electrifying heating on site, especially for factories and warehouses. That will grow and grow and grow, I think, as the payback periods drop and more people have solar. I think that's going to be a really big driver moving forward. I think also we're going to see, this ties in with that, but a move away from fossil fuels. So if you're a business and you've got oil and kerosene on site, for example, you perhaps couldn't have mains gas previously, going to solar and electrifying your business completely will get away from having to have those dirty fossil fuels delivered to site every month. And then I think for the non-carbon bit, or the non-item bit, as it were, we are seeing a drive, as we've mentioned previously, we're seeing a drive down the actual scope 3 reporting pathway, where there's pressure on the supply chain to reduce carbon, basically. So it's like a ripple effect, isn't it, Sarah, whereby the top of the supply chain or legislation or whatever will insist on lower carbon from their suppliers, and that then reduces carbon throughout the supply chain. I think you mentioned you've seen that was it the construction sector, Sarah, when we spoke about it earlier on?
Yeah, I think particular sectors, there's that knock-on effect from customers or suppliers where they're saying, you know, we need that scope 3 reporting. You need to start doing this, that sustainability reporting, in order to win contracts. So yeah, certainly I do see scope 3 kind of reporting becoming a lot more popular in the future. Also, I suppose voluntary standards as well. So I know you've had a podcast on B Corp, for example, potentially ISO 50,000 among those kinds of things. And that helps with your sustainability reporting and get it standardized into a recognizable badge, I suppose.
Yeah, accreditation, basically, and more awareness of the benefits, essentially. I mean, we know there's cost saving, but there's more knock-on benefits, isn't there, in terms of staff retention and a greener perception and winning more business, definitely. And so on. So I think a lot of people will get it more in the future, basically, moving forward. So okay, so that's great answers and a good discussion. So that's it for today's session. So thank you to our audience for listening, and also thank you to Sarah for giving up your time today for the discussion. That sounds of interest to anybody, then please do get in touch. We'd love to hear from you. If you'd like to register, the actual description to do so is in our podcast description, which you'll see online. So if that sounds of interest, get in touch. My name's Jonathan Howell. Thanks for listening.